This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for Dodger baseball. And that's strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Mookie Betts
cranks one left field.
We're going to make big signings. We're going to make impact trades. I don't care how many times this team rips my heart out, I'll never stop loving the Los Angeles Dodgers. Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
And what's going on, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to another episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. We are closing in on opening day. We are Wally Moon, Juan Pierre, Yasmani Grandal, Christopher Negron, Gavin Lux days away from Dodgers opening day in Seoul, Korea. Just 9 days until the most anticipated season in Dodgers history kicks off. Get excited, Dodgers fans. We got some big breaking news to get into. The Dodgers know who will be on the mound for games 1 and 2 against the Padres. Their starters have been announced. Tyler Glasnow, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. We're going to dive into that. LA makes another round of big roster cuts. We're going to talk about this shortstop position with Mookie Betts and Gavin Lux. Do they need to go out there externally and trade for a shortstop? We're going to talk about that. We got some big injury news to get into about Bruce Dark Gratterall and Blake Treinen. And also, we're going to talk about the biggest Dodgers bust of all time. That's coming up here on another episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. But if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the channel, the number one Dodgers YouTube channel. Definitely you want to be subscribed to, because we are headed to Korea, ladies and gentlemen. I'm leaving Thursday. I'm going to be giving you wall-to-wall content all day, every day in Korea. We're going to be doing live streams. We're going to be doing vlogs. We're going to be pre, post, during the show. You're going to get everything you need to know about the Dodgers in Korea. So be sure to subscribe for that. Also, if you want to be eligible for our giveaways, definitely hit that subscribe button and comment done down below. We are very close to announcing our next giveaway. We're going to hit it at 90,000 subscribers. I'm leaning towards a Tyler Glasnow jersey, but we're going to continue to talk about that. So definitely drop that in the comment section done down below. And also, I've got my super producer, Mr. Antonio, to my left, and he's looking for all your best Dodgers takes. And when you drop a take, we're going to put it right to my right. We're going to bank that, and we're going to get into it later in the show when we hit the seventh inning stretch, when I answer all of your Dodgers-related questions and we talk all things Dodger baseball. But for the leadoff today, we are talking about the big breaking news. The big breaking news, just a few minutes ago, we found out that Tyler Glasnow is going to be on the bump when the Dodgers start their season against the Padres. We got IB Strogan with a super chat. Appreciate you, Soul Food Fund. I love that. Soul Food Fund from IB Strogan. Yeah, I've been telling people I'm going to have the best Korean barbecue, and they're like, hey, it's just barbecue in Korea. You don't need to say Korean barbecue. So appreciate that. That's definitely a comment of the show from IB Strogan. Always rock with us. You know, I appreciate all the day ones. By the way, if you're new to the show, if you're new to the channel, Dodgers Dugout Live is everything you need to know about Dodger baseball in less than an hour. And our first topic, the leadoff here, is the lead story, the biggest story right now in the Dodgers universe. We got happy birthday, DMX from Queso. It ain't my birthday, but look, I've already gotten all the birthday presents I need for the next 10, 15, 20 years this offseason. You gave me Ohtani, you gave me Glasser, you gave me Yamamoto, you gave me a team that is going to have a deep run of the postseason, that is going to win the World Series. Going to manifest that. We got Sammy Boy Smith. Do we have any high-ceiling shortstops in our minors? Good question. Appreciate the $2. I'll also go into the Soul Food Fund. And maybe that $2 can go towards maybe convincing Andrew Friedman to go deeper into the CBT. So we'll apply that. We got the shoey, some kimchi with that KBBQ. That's from Anthony Smiley. What up, Anthony? What up, Lemon818? We need Snell, and that's True Talk. Yeah, how about Blake Snell just teasing everybody over on IG with the eyes emoji? And it feels like he's going to the Angels. I think that's definitely the most likely situation. But until we know, there's always a chance that he signs somewhere else. Could it be the Dodgers? We got the 199 from MM Forever. Who do you think will start opening day in LA? Well, hey, could be any of those guys as far as the rest goes. I mean, you look at the series and you're starting up in against the Padres in Seoul. Then you got the time off and you play the freeway series and you got Dodgers opening day on the 28th. Could it be Bobby Miller? That'd be special. I think that would be something that would really excite the Dodgers fans with a young, talented flamethrower in Bobby Miller. But we'll get into that in a little bit. We got what's up, D-Mac, David Sabatini, Lawrence. Good morning, D-Mac. Glasnow jersey is a great idea since he's the opening day starter. So yeah, just a few minutes ago, we found out that Tyler Glasnow was going to be on the bump for the Dodgers on opening day. And how do we find this out? Was it a reporter? Was it Dave Roberts? Well, we found out through Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball tweeted out, here are your starting pitcher matchups for next week's Seoul Series. Game one, Tyler Glasnow versus Yu Darvish, March 20th, 6.05 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. West Coast time. I know you guys are going to be watching that game, so definitely just get to bed a little early or just pull it all-nighter. Okay, whatever you got to do, tune in. Then game two, you got Yoshinobu Yamamoto versus Joe Musgrove in game two, March 21st, 6.05 a.m. Eastern start. So the Seoul series is going to be special. It's going to be a moment for Major League Baseball, for Dodgers fans. Not only is it the first game there in Korea, but it's the first in what, in my opinion, is the next chapter in Dodger baseball. The chapter that I think could go down as the most successful in franchise history. The roster is set with guys like Yamamoto and Ohtani and Glasnow. You have young players that are coming up there contributing. You have guys already on this team that have been here for years, like the Will Smiths of the world, the Mookie Betts, the Freddie Freeman. This is the most talented roster on paper in the sport. All that's left is to go out there and win a couple World Series titles. It's easier said than done. But Tyler Glasnow, he's going to get that start. He's going up against Yu Darvish. It would have been kind of cool to see Yu Darvish versus Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And I talked to Dave Roberts a few weeks ago at the GM meetings, and I asked him, okay, is it a safe bet you're going to see Yamamoto gain the ball in game one? And he said that it's a safe bet you're going to see Tyler Glasnow and Yamamoto in those first two games in Korea. So we knew that it was going to be these two pitchers. What we didn't know that is Glasnow was going to get the ball in game one. And I like it. You're giving the veteran the nod. You're letting people know that, look, Yamamoto is someone who is going to be a pillar of this franchise, someone who could win the Rookie of the Year, someone who has the talent to win the Cy Young. But let's not forget, Tyler Glasnow is right up there. He has the seventh highest odds to win the Cy Young this season in the National League. Let's not forget that Tyler Glasnow, from a stuff perspective, takes a backseat to no one in this league. And I hear people out there, oh, Tyler Glasnow, he's made of glass. The most starts he's made in the season is 21. The most innings he's pitched is 120. This guy's an injury waiting to happen. That was glass then. This is glass now. Tyler Glasnow is with the Dodgers after undergoing that surgery. I talked to him a few months ago, and one thing he stressed to me was, one, that he has a personal goal this season to set a new career high in innings pitched, a new personal goal to set a career high in games started, and then three, he also told me that a lot of these injuries that he was dealing with were related to that arm injury that he since had medically repaired. And having gotten past that, he feels like his best days are in front of him. And just looking at his outings last season, some of the things that really stick out to me is I think that Tyler Glasnow's best days are in front of him. I don't think he's peaked as a pitcher. If you look at his last couple starts last season, he did something with that curveball that was different. Whether it be the grip, whether it be the release point. There was 6 to 7 inches of added sweep to that curveball. The curveball got even nastier than it was, and it's right behind Devin Williams's airbender as the most effective pitch in baseball when it comes to generating swing and miss. And then you also add the fact that against lefties, they had a little more success against him than in years past. I think one of the key reasons for that is the shape of that slider. He was throwing a more firm slider last season, and I was averaging over 90 miles per hour. I think he's going to take some velocity off that slider, and you're going to see him go back to one that has a little more of a break to it, and I think he's going to have even more success with the Dodgers. You look at the extension, you look at the stuff, he's absolutely filthy on the mound. He's a dominant ace. That fastball is just right on top of hitters. That curveball is nasty. The slider, the way he can mix things up. If he stays healthy, which to a lot of people is a big if, then there's no reason why Tyler Glasnow can't be the best pitcher in all of Major League Baseball. Not just on the Dodgers, not in the National League, but in all of Major League Baseball. And this is Tyler Glasnow's second career opening day start. He pitched 6 scoreless frames for the Tampa Bay Rays against the Marlins back in 2021, had 6 punchouts in that game. And this is the 6th different opening day starter for the Dodgers in the last 6 years. So we had that long streak for Clayton Kershaw. Now it's like we're seeing a different opening day starter every single season. And next year we could see Shohei Ohtani. It could be Yoshinobu Yamamoto. But give me your reaction. What are your thoughts on Tyler Glasnow being named the Dodgers opening day starter when they take on the Padres to open things up 3 a.m. in the morning in Seoul, Korea? I just think, look, Tyler Glasnow, this guy's on a run. This guy's on an epic run right now. He gets traded to the team he grew up loving, the hometown kid. That's where Antonio's from, Santa Clarita. This hometown kid comes back, the prodigal son, and he gets traded to the Dodgers. He signs a $136.5 million extension. Last night, he wins Best Actor at the Academy Awards for his role in Oppenheimer. And then the very next day, he learns he's the opening day starter for the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is an epic run for Tyler Glasnow. But let me know down below in the comment section, what are your thoughts on Tyler Glasnow being named the Dodgers opening day starter? It's almost interesting that the conversation right now is kind of more about the 5th starter than the opening day starter. But of course, now that we know, it's definitely interesting. So Darvish starting opening day. We got, that's from Sammy Lemon 818. Glasnow starting in Korea will be good to see where we at in the season. Wish him all the best. Tatis ringworm cream. First of all, that's a fire. That's a finisher just for the name and a fire take. You get the double whammy right there. We got, excellent choice to start. So, yeah, I agree with you, Tatis, for sure. Hello, DMAC. What up, Robert? What up? Boris is salivating. Mr. Classic, so thankful that Trinan only has a bruised lung. Yeah, we'll get into that. We have a $9.99 super chat from Lorenzo Gaddis. Korean lesson. Thank you in Korea is pronounced kamsahamnida. Okay. Yeboseyo. I know how to say that. You're welcome. I'm here all day. Hello is Onyaseyo. Okay, I'm going to work on it. Okay, we'll do a quick Rosetta Stone. Okay, we'll get ready and we'll have the Korean lingo down. We got to Mike M. I think they didn't want to divide the Korean fans because Darvish has his fan base. I like that take. Mike M. Are they afraid Yamamoto will have the yips? I don't think that's the case at all whatsoever. If it weren't for the poor defense behind him, Yamamoto would have had a decent start where he was working more out of the stretch. Yes, the command wasn't pristine like we've seen with Yamamoto, but I don't think that is the case at all whatsoever. But now we're going to tell you some 3 up, 3 down, 3 things I like, 3 things I didn't like, and we are going to continue to break down yesterday's action down at Camelback Ranch. So first thing for the things I did like, I'm going to go Gavin Stone. Gavin Stone, he is pitching well this spring, and I think that Gavin Stone has proven that he could be that number 5 starter. He has earned that role. Yesterday, he was making his 3rd start, his 4th overall appearance. He tossed 4 scoreless frames, and he gave just a pair of hits with 5 punch-outs.
2-1 pitch.
And you look at the stuff. Wait, you look at the tumble.
They will have 31 available for the exhibition
game. Change-up. I always say this changeup is nastier than a gas station bathroom. It certainly pitches. I mean, the conviction that he's throwing it with, the confidence that he has, knowing that opponents aren't just sitting on that four-seam fastball. That's the big difference between Gavin Stone. Is last season, one, he was dealing with a blister. That impacted how he pushed off the rubber. Two, he was tipping his pitches. Three, that arsenal was limited. You had a four-seam fastball. You had the changeup. And the big difference now is that they can't sit on that four-seam fastball. And that's the difference between big league hitters is they can read the spin on that changeup. And when they know it's going to tumble out of the zone like that, and you're going to try to generate that whiff, that swing and miss outside of the zone, they're just not going to off-route it. And they're going to sit on that four-seam fastball. And that's exactly what they did. And I think for me, it's the confidence, too. It is absolutely the confidence that he has, knowing that, yeah, I did have my ups and downs last year in the show, but I went back down, and I licked my wounds. I added the two-seam fastball that's more east and west. He can get strikes earlier in the count and put himself into more favorable counts to have success. And then I have a world-class changeup. That's exactly what he has. He put on 10 to 15 pounds of muscle. My man was eating good at Chipotle. Don't think he's buying that guacamole yet. That guacamole is pricey. But still, the fact that he's had that success, I think that Gavin Stone, as the Dodgers' fifth starter, it's cast in stone at this point. He is going to take advantage of this opportunity. Michael Grove, he was nasty. Struck out 6 of the 12 batters you faced the other day on Saturday. I like what I see from Michael Grove. I like him-ish when he's on as a starter. I think I love him, though, as a bullpen piece. So Gavin Stone, that's my first up. Now, my first down is Bruce Dar Gratterall. Bruce Dar Gratterall is going to miss time. So the bazooka, he's been used sparingly this spring, and now we know why. The Dodgers flamethrower is dealing with a sore shoulder and hip tightness. As a result, he will not travel with the team when they open their season against the San Diego Padres in Korea. He is hopeful that he will pitch in the opener against the Cardinals on March 28th. He's been doing a lot of plyo work, working on that flexibility. So hopefully this is nothing serious. We've seen Bruce Dar Gratterall in years past get off to a slower start as far as his ramp-up time, dealing with some stuff early on. But make no mistake about it. If this were a normal regular season, he would be in there, okay? If this weren't a March 20th start, he would be in there. And I think that's what we're seeing with this. If it was March 28th, he would have probably been on there. And I think that just gives him some extra time that he's going to need to just get right. I mean, if they wanted to put him on the IL, they could still have him back by March 28th if this was a normal season. But let me just point this out. Bruce Dar Gratterall does not get talked about enough. He doesn't get enough credit for this. He took a big, gigantic step forward last season. The numbers, a 120 ERA, a 309 expected ERA. He led the team in appearance and innings last season. Also, he's riding a 28-inning scoreless streak, and that includes the postseason. So the numbers he put up were good. The expected numbers are really good. His baseball savant page, 92nd percentile in expected ERA, 95th percentile in walk rate, 99th percentile in ground ball rate. He's limiting hard contact at an elite level. So Bruce Dar Gratterall is going to be a big piece of this Dodgers bullpen this season. So, look, they're not going to rush things with him. And he's someone that I think is going to know his body better than anyone else. And he's dealt with stuff in the past. So not worried, but he's essential to the success of this Dodgers bullpen. The bazooka took a big step forward last year. Next, I'm going to include this in this same down, and that is that Blake Treinen got injured in the Saturday game where he took a comebacker off the ribs. But on a positive note, he did have x-rays, and the news is good. There's good news with Blake Treinen. He took the line drive off the ribs Saturday. The test results indicated that he's got a bruised lung. And he went in for those x-rays. He got a bruised lung, no fractures. This is according to Fabian Ardai of The Athletic. So for him to avoid any type of fracture, any cracking of the ribs, I think he's going to start throwing pretty soon. I think there's a decent chance that he'll be available for the Seoul series in Korea on March 20th. And so far, Blake Treinen, he's been phenomenal. He's looked really good this spring. 3 2/3 innings, allowed 2 hits. He's had 2 strikeouts in Cactus League play. So they dodged a bullet with Blake Treinen. And then Emmett Sheehan is, as well, a little injury update on Sheehan. He was throwing a bullpen session yesterday. It was the first one since he was shelved for a couple of days due to that shoulder soreness. So the plan for him is to start the year on the IL. And I think there's a silver lining in the Emmett Sheehan thing. And yes, you want to see everyone healthy at all times, but let's not forget, Emmett Sheehan is not someone that has thrown more than 130 innings in a season at this level. Last year, he's around 120, 130 minor leagues and the big leagues combined. So it's not like if you had planted him in that number five starter role that he was going to go the distance from the start of the season until the end of the season. And I think with Emmett Sheehan, the way his stuff plays up, especially that four-seam fastball, I think that you would prefer to just save those bullets for later in the year, for the postseason. So you have the depth to be able to withstand that. So I'm not mad at all whatsoever. I mean, definitely it's concerning because it's a shoulder injury, but as long as he can get back to 100%, I think missing time now and giving Gavin Stone this opportunity, the fact that he's fully built up and he's ready to go, I think this makes more sense for the Dodgers. Now, the next up, let's do an up here. How about Will Ferrell? How about Will Ferrell is back at Dodgers spring training. And not only was he back, he didn't play, unfortunately. He didn't feel that bunt. But he is back at Dodgers spring training, and he actually did participate in the Dodgers scrum and asked Dave Roberts a couple questions. Here's Will Ferrell yesterday at Dodgers camp.
New prospect, Ferrell. You think you traded too much for him?
So,
is he playing today?
Yeah, so this Ferrell guy we just acquired last night. And, just to show how much he cares about competing and playing and wanting to be a Dodger, he flew out first flight out this morning from Los Angeles.
I'm huge in Japan.
Hey! Hey, we got Will Ferrell here, guys. So he's had a trek of playing in the Cactus League years ago. And that didn't go great, but he hit all the teams. So we're going to give him another shot. So we've got an older club, so we got a new player right now, Will Ferrell.
Returning to where I think I fielded a bunt on
this
field.
Yeah. He fielded a bunt on this field, and with all the other stuff he's got going on. So in the spirit of kind of doing a lot of different things, he's got baseball now added to his list of producing and making films.
I remember walking to the parking lot with the poor Padres player who had to, he's like, hey, Will, I forget the guy's name. He's like, I'm the guy who had to lay down the bunt.
Yeah. And that player shall be nameless, and he's no longer in the game. But Will Ferrell is still in the game.
I'm telling my kids that was Clayton Kershaw, okay? Will Ferrell, one of the best pitchers in Dodgers history. And Dave's saying it didn't go well. What are you talking about, Doc? He went a third of an inning. He allowed no hits, no runs. Still has a 0.00 ERA, one pitch. I mean, come on now. Very, very efficient. By the way, my favorite thing, Will Ferrell actually has an official baseball reference page. So that's really cool. And then for my next down, I'm going with... Well, we're just going to break down this big roster cut thing they did. So basically, you had roster cuts. You had more roster moves yesterday. So it's not down in a negative light. It's just the guys were sent down and reassigned. So break this down really quick so you guys know all things about spring training, everything that's going on. Well, Dodgers, they optioned Matt Gage and Andre Lipsius. They sent 10 players to minor league camp. And the Lipsius, of course, trade a couple weeks ago. He's someone that, look, he provides a little pop. They acquired from the Tigers for cash on Monday, and he got into 3 Cactus League games. You played twice at third, once at second, and he was optioned. And that leaves the Dodgers with 14 position players on the 40-man roster, and you got Miguel Vargas. So, look, I think you look at in Korea, you don't need the full 26. You got the 31-man roster that you can have for the exhibition games. I think there's a really good chance you're going to see Andy Páez and Miguel Vargas make that trip and get some action. And then Gage, he was getting optioned, and now you only have 2 left-handed relievers on the roster. You have Alex Vesia and Ryan Yarbrough. But I think Justin Wilson has absolutely been a spring standout. Justin Wilson has shown out. He's definitely impressed. And if you look at Justin Wilson's numbers, He's gone 3 innings, 8 strikeouts to 1 walk. Yes, a 6 ERA, giving up 5 hits. But still, if you watch his starts, Justin Wilson's been pretty impressive. I don't think that you're going to want to make a 40-man roster move just to get Justin Wilson on or anything like that. But you look at the lefties right now, you got Yarbrough, you got Alex Vesia. And then the 8 non-roster invitees that were reassigned, you got outfielders Jose Ramos, Drew Avins, and Ryan Ward. Jose Ramos, he's been a player that's definitely impressed this spring. And you see the hit tool, you see the skills, you see the potential that he has. He's hit .368 with a .954 OPS, 7 RBI. And Drew Avins, he's hit .316. He's hit a home run, 5 RBI, .961 OPS. So those guys are reassigned. If you look at the infielders, someone asked me earlier about some internal shortstop options. Well, you got Trey Sweeney, you got Austin Gautier. And Gautier, .318, .964 OPS with a home run, a double, and 6 walks. He's looked good. And then Sweeney, in 18 at-bats, he's hit .278 with a home run, 2 RBI, 825 OPS. He's also played some really good defense. So think about Sweeney is, will his defense play up? Will he be able to get it done as a shortstop with a glove? Well, I think that he answered some questions that these Dodgers scouts and higher personnel brass and everyone that's been wanting to know if he could be something within this organization. He did look good with the glove. He did look like he had some potential. You saw the towering fly ball he hit, and you saw the home run. So Sweeney is someone that I think, hey, keep your eye on that guy. I'm not saying he's going to come up and be the Dodgers' next shortstop, but this was someone who was a highly touted prospect in the Yankees organization. He definitely has potential. He has flashed at times. And then you got pitchers Eliezer Hernandez and Kevin Gowdy. So Eliezer Hernandez, he was an NRI that maybe if everything broke right, he could turn some heads and maybe get an opportunity if there were some injuries. He struggled. A 17-18 ERA, a .273 whip in 3 2/3 innings. So he definitely did not have a good spring. But Kevin Gowdy, he's been very impressive. 4 1/3 innings, he's allowed a run. He's had 4 strikeouts, a .92 whip. And I think he's someone that he could make his big league debut this season. And then there's Dalton Rushing, the Dodgers' number one prospect, catcher Dalton Rushing. He hasn't had the best spring, limited opportunities, but he was hitless in 10 at-bats. He did drive in 2 runs. He did have a walk. So he's not going to make his MLB debut this year, but he's someone that the organization is extremely high on, not just on the field with his hitting ability, with what he's able to do with the stick, but the intangibles, the leadership. So that's where the roster cuts are at right now. The Dodgers are down to 41 players on the big league side. You have 23 pitchers, 18 position players, and they need to make 15 more moves to get down to 26. Of course, you have Emmett Sheehan. He's going to begin the year on the IR, on the IL. And then Bruce Dark Gratterall, he's not going to be on the roster for now as far as the active. So he's someone that won't be there. But you got some moves you got to make. I mean, Nabil Chrismet, TJ McFarland, Chris Oakey, who's played very well, Jonathan Arraez, and Kevin Padlow. They are probably going to be the next to be reassigned. But some of those players that are going to make that trip to South Korea and play in those 2 exhibition games, like I said, are most likely going to be the Andy Pajezes, the Miguel Vargases, and then you got the taxi squad as well. It's going to be expanded. But right now, the roster is pretty much set. But for my minor league aficionados, you know, we got to break it all down here on Dodgers Dugout Live. But coming up next, we're going to talk more about the shortstop position and also who are the biggest Dodgers draft busts in franchise history. That's coming up next here on Dodgers Dugout Live. What up, Dodgers Nation? D-Mag here. I'm here to remind you that if you have not yet, be sure to subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel for all latest Dodgers news, rumors, hype videos, interviews, breakdowns, live streams, and more all year long. Hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, and if you really want to help the channel out, smash that like button. Also, you will not be eligible for any of our giveaways unless you are subscribed to the channel. So all you need to do to be eligible for all of our giveaways is just make sure that you are subscribed. We just gave away a brand new authentic Mookie Betts jersey valued at over $350. And we got tons of giveaways coming this offseason. So be sure to be subscribed. So you are eligible to win. And as always, think blue, bleed blue, and please subscribe. And welcome back to Dodgers Dugout Live. We are just 9 days away from the Dodgers opening series against the Padres in Seoul, South Korea. We got the news that Tyler Glasnow will be on the bump, and then Yoshinobu Yamamoto will be towing the slab for your Dodgers in game two. So much excitement this week. It really feels like, okay, we're done with spring training, right? It's time for Dodger baseball for real, for real. So very, very exciting. Also, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. Be sure to comment done down below so you're eligible for our next giveaway, which we'll be giving away once we hit 90,000 subscribers. And before we hit our next topic, of course, it's the seventh inning stretch. And seventh inning stretch is where we answer all your Dodgers questions, no matter what. What did you guys want to throw out there? All things Dodger baseball. We're talking about it right here on this seventh inning stretch. So let's dive right into it. We got James says Justin Wilson over Alex Vesia. So interesting take right there, because Wilson, you see the potential there. Alex Vesia, he has had success with this organization at the big league level. I think Alex Vesia, what frustrates so many fans is that he is really comes off to a slow, on slow starts, and all of a sudden he turns it up. And you're like, why can't we get that Alex Vesia for the entire season? Why can't we get the Alex Vesia you see after the All-Star break, before the All-Star break? Because Alex Vesia, last season, for example, at the beginning of July, Vesia was a Messia. He had a 7.58 ERA across 19 innings, almost an 8 ERA at that point. Then after the All-Star break, a 2.54 ERA in 28 and a third innings, 30 strikeouts to 5 walks. Hitters slashed 168, 215, 307. So before the All-Star break, opponents were hitting 361 against Vesia. After the All-Star break, it was 168. So he does have the ability to turn things on, and he peaks at the right time. So that's something you have to say about Alex Vesia. It just makes you wonder how invested the organization is going to be. Do they feel like he's going to be their high-leverage lefty? I think right now they do. Next comment comes from Abs Tracta. That's a difficult name. It's like the alphabet right there. A, B, C, D, B, D, G, G. Are you confident in Mookie at shortstop? Am I confident in Mookie at shortstop? In the sense that, yeah, sure, but there's a reason why substitute teachers are substitute teachers, right? Because it's supposed to be temporary. And what Dave Roberts said is that Mookie Betts is going to be the Dodgers shortstop, and that's permanent for now. That's a masterclass in doublespeak. What the hell does that mean? Does that mean permanent for now, temporary for later? Does that mean permanent until we see if we can trade for Willy Adames? Permanent until we see if Gavin Lux can figure out the throwing issues at shortstop? Permanent until we see if we should just go with Miguel Rojas, who is an elite defensive shortstop but doesn't provide very much with the bat? I think that he can't get it done, but here's the rub on Mookie Betts. Even if Mookie does everything to the best of his ability at shortstop, the most you can ask for is an average defensive shortstop. So he's not necessarily additive as far as being a boost at that position. I think there's a novelty of it, and that's what people focus on. Oh, yeah, it feels good. Mookie, he's this do-it-all guy. Right field, Gold Glover, and second base and shortstop. Yeah, but if you look at the metrics, he's not going to be an elite shortstop defensively. That's just not who he is. It's unrealistic. So, look, I think Mookie, what he does best for this team is he rakes. And if you take that away from putting him in a position where there's an increased wear and tear, he just can't have that. And it's terrifying to me to have Mookie Betts at shortstop because, yeah, look, you're going to have more opportunities. You have to be the guardian of the infield. You have to apply more mental energy, and you put yourself in positions where, look, you're trying to preserve his health. And the idea was, okay, let's put Mookie at second so he doesn't have to run to right. He doesn't have to dive for balls in right field, right? And then you put at shortstop where the wear and tear is increased. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me as far as long-term. Right now, fine, sure. It's a stopgap. It's better than having Gavin Lux at short where you're seeing just miss throw after miss throw, errors after errors. You just can't have that. But it definitely is something that I don't want to see long term. I think Mookie should be at second. He should be in right. And he should be focused on what he does best at this point of his career. That's hitting, okay? Mookie is a top five hitter in baseball. He will not be a top five defensive shortstop. That's unrealistic, okay? And you look at the pitchers they signed. Glasnow, Yamamoto, guys who either are adjusting to the show or guys who have durability concerns, right? Do you really want to have them out there for more pitches, for more innings? No, you can't have that. You can't have extended innings. You need a dependable shortstop. Personally, it just makes you wonder, yes, you want to keep Gavin Lux's bat in the lineup and the bottom of that lineup and have him turn over the lineup with speed and be a base runner that wreaks havoc. Sure, that's absolutely a strength, but let's not forget, you have Miguel Rojas who can get it done at an elite level. But you got the shout out to Gavin Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's a fire take from our boy Queso Crema over there. We got a super chat, $10, no comment. I appreciate that from Michael over there. We got the Lemon 818. Gavin Stone has been good. He just needs more time in that spotlight. Movie Will, Yama or Glasnow, who would be your bet for Cy Young? Can't go wrong with either, LOL. Look, I definitely think Glasnow, if he stays healthy, he could win the Cy Young easily. I'm trying to manifest Yamamoto because I want to see him become the first Rookie of the Year and Cy Young winner since Fernando Valenzuela. Mr. Classic says, y'all, the current trend in MLB is no more old guys and more young prospects. Yeah, look, if you want to try to hit the bullseye, it's better to have 10 darts instead of six, right? So the more chances you have, the more lottery tickets you have to scratch off, you increase your chances of winning. Lemon 818 Brewsdar was great because he got to pitch in front of his mom that he had not seen over 8 years. So to pitch in front of her was a great incentive. Look, that's a great take. And that was one of the great moments of last season, the emotions that he showed. Lawrence Jerry says, Glasnow picked as opening day starter is a great idea. When Glasnow is healthy, he's great. I believe he's going to have an outstanding season. Always liked him. Awesome. So, John, we are a super team. We need a shortstop to complement, not hurt. Mookie at second. We need a permanent top-tier shortstop. Yeah, I'm with you. Hey, look, I can see the conversation right now. I can see the conversation that Andrew Friedman is having with the Milwaukee Brewers, because look, you got Matt Arnold, the Brewers GM. Andrew Friedman calls him. Oh, Matt Arnold sees a 310 number. Actually, Friedman lives in Pasadena. It's probably a 626. They're like, it's Andrew Friedman. I don't want to get fleeced. Andrew Friedman say, hey, is Willie Adames available? Can we get him? And Arnold's probably saying, look, Willie Adames, he's got one more year of team control. We're in a very weak division. We could win this division. And we're going to see if we can contend. And Willie Adames is a big part of that right now. This is someone who can hit 25 to 30 home runs. He plays elite defense. And who knows? Maybe the Brewers think there could be something long term. I highly doubt that. But Adames has said he would be willing to sign an extension with the Brewers. But it did come out that the Dodgers are still interested in him. And if they are still interested in him, that tells me it's still a distinct possibility. And I'm inclined to believe that the Dodgers will try to correct that position and not force themselves to just continue on an experiment that they know is not the best for this organization long-term. But Mookie at second and Taylor at third sounds better. Bring back Trevor Bauer. That's from Troy Reed. Yeah, what'd you guys think about Trevor Bauer? That was really, really interesting. Trevor Bauer at Camelback Ranch. Why don't we talk about that a little bit here? Because Trevor Bauer, he was pitching for the Asian Breeze. He faced a group of Dodgers minor leaguers on Sunday in one of the Camelback Ranch complex, their backfields. And Bauer said that he should have had an opportunity to sign with a big league team. He said, I think it was obvious that I was still elite. He was touching 99 out there. And he was also flashing that splitter that he learned last season while he was pitching in the NPB. You did see a little bit of hard contact from what I heard from people that were present, but he did end up striking out four batters over three innings. Early on, the bases were loaded. He was able to get out of that, but a lot of that wasn't his fault. He ends up facing Andy Páez, Hunter Fiducia, Diego Cartaya, Jake Geloff. And like I said, they load the bases against him in the first inning, but Bauer worked his way around a pop-up that was misplayed. So the defense for a team called the Asian Breeze is probably not going to be phenomenal against legitimate minor leaguers. So that's to be expected. But he ended up retiring the final eight batters that he faced. And he also would say, I didn't think I was going to hit 99 today. I didn't really have an adrenaline. I was just joking around, having a good time. I wasn't super competitive, but I throw harder now than I did when I pitched in the big leagues. And we'll see where it goes from here. I don't know. I don't really plan at this point because everything is out of my control. I just stay ready, and maybe people will somehow remember that I'm still one of the best pitchers in the world. Maybe that makes a difference. So Bauer, he's still unsigned. Last season, he played with the Yokohama Dina Bay Stars, and he hasn't pitched a Major League Baseball since he did with the Dodgers back in 2021. He, of course, has been facing that suspension that was reduced from 324 games to 196. Still the longest suspension given out by the league since implementing its joint domestic violence policy in 2015. But this is someone who has said that he's willing to sign for the league minimum. The league minimum. And he still can't get an opportunity. So it's really looking back, and he's such a big fan base. A lot of young baseball fans love his YouTube channel, and he has strong opinions. And just looking at it, though, this is someone that went from winning the National League Cy Young Award to signing a record-setting contract with the Dodgers to now someone who is pitching for a tryout club called the Asian Breeze, something called the Asian Breeze that no one knew existed a few weeks ago. And now he's begging to pitch for the league minimum, and teams won't touch him with a 100-foot pole. I mean, look, I'm not getting into the logistics of what happened and whether or not he should be able to play or that, but just the Bauer career arc is one of the biggest fall-offs we've ever seen. And I do think that for the people that wanted to see him out there, pitching really makes you wonder if he's going to get an opportunity, because there's a lot of teams that need pitching. I do think that he's definitely a number three starter, probably at worst. But, hey, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of momentum. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on Bauer? He also paid money to play for the Asian Breeze. Yeah, he paid money to pay for the Asian Breeze. I love Trevor Bauer. Wish the Dodgers would sign him back. He's been cleared, no charges, and he did time. Look, the reality is, though, no one's really privy to MLB's investigation. And MLB has their private investigation. They don't owe anyone anything. Anyone can say what they want, but it's very telling that teams are not signing him. And you just wonder if he's ever going to get an opportunity to pitch again. I mean, doing his time, does he go out there and get an opportunity? So, yeah, we got the BC wish the domestic opener wasn't against the Cardinals. I like it. I like the Redbirds. He still has a bad rap. Jose Martinez, hey, D-Mac, what are the keys to win the first two games in Korea versus the Padres? I think, Jose, well, first of all, is it the traditional buildup, right? Are they going to go 4 or 5 innings with Tyler Glass now and Yamamoto? Will they go 5 innings and 75 pitches? Will they go 6? Will they rely on the bullpen? But I think really the big key is, how good is the starting pitching? This offense, Shohei Ohtani and Betts and Freeman, the MV3, if they come out and they put up crooked number innings, you really feel good about where this team is at. But look, baseball is a high variance sport, and teams are, and the Padres know that everyone's going to be tuning in to see Shohei Ohtani. So they're going to want to play the spoiler. But the biggest key is always is pitching, especially early on. And then, look, I think this offense, what do they get from the big three? And what do they get from everyone outside of the big three? So who carries? Is it the superstars, or are you going to see a James Altman home run, a Will Smith home run? Someone who's, well, I think Will Smith's in the big four. But Michael says, greetings from Bolzano, Italy. First time traveling to the U.S. next August. Hopefully I can see my Dodgers play. Absolutely. Hey, Mike Piazza, he lives in Italy now. Mitchell Hopkins, I don't love the idea of Adames just because I like the idea of CT3 and Rojas until the deadline and see just how big of an issue shortstop is. Mitchell, so I like that. Rational take right there. The thing about Chris Taylor, he had a 2 defensive run save last season. He absolutely is an adequate shortstop. But with Chris Taylor, the key for him is he's the Chris Army knife, right? It is the versatility, and you don't want to have him play just one position. You want to have him mix it up, and I think he's going to play in the outfield as well. So, yeah, if he wants to be a part of this mix that is trying to just transition this team while they're allowing Gavin Lux to get his legs underneath him and get his confidence back, and Mookie Betts is figuring out the position at a full-time level. Because Mookie said, look, he hasn't played it in over a decade full-time, right? But, hey, Mookie, I remember being in the clubhouse, and he said that it was a dream come true to be playing shortstop. So maybe this continues to fuel him and excite him. But Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez, Miguel Rojas, the good thing is the Dodgers do have options, right? They paid for that Apple Care. They have the insurance. So if they need some Band-Aid shortstops, they definitely have some options. Kike, a healthy version of Kike Hernandez after that double hernia surgery, definitely is intriguing for sure. And the reason why they kept him and they traded, or they brought him back and they trade away Margot, is because of that positional versatility, the fact that he can play four infield positions in all three outfield spots. But a couple more here. I like Taylor and Kike as in need multiple positions, but the team needs to set players that Willy Adames is an everyday player. Yeah, look, this is, like I said, it's like having a $75 million mansion in Bel Air, but you don't have a functioning toilet, right? When's the last time you saw a team go and have success, extended success, without a reliable shortstop, okay? It's a very... If Mookie handles it, and that's fine, but at his very best, it's probably going to be average. Can you really have that? I don't know, especially when you have the assets to go out there and upgrade at that position. But I think we're going to save the top five prospect bus for tomorrow's show, because we had the show at the top about Tyler Glass on Yamamoto. So I think we're going to bank that one for tomorrow. But a couple more questions here. Hey, Doug, scary news coming out of the Bronx. Are you talking about Garrett Cole? I saw Garrett Cole having some elbow issues. Speaking of UCLA pitchers. Binky, I would like them to wait till the trade deadline to see how bad it gets and see if more people are available. But, I mean, who would be available, though, when you think about it? I mean, who would actually be available? I mean, it's very difficult to, one, find shortstops that are not under team control for multiple years that have not signed the big-time extensions. A couple years ago when you had Lindor available, I mean, there were some names that definitely made some sense. And the Dodgers, they were interested in Lindor before they traded for Mookie Betts. But, I mean, who could become available? Maybe if Tim Anderson has a bounce-back season with the Marlins. But look at the top shortstops in baseball right now. Corey Seager, not available. Francisco Lindor, tons of money, not available. Bobby Witt Jr., absolutely not available. Just signed that new extension. Dansby Swanson signed a deal with the Cubs a couple seasons ago. J.P. Crawford, Gunnar Henderson, they're in win-now mode. Xander Bogaerts just signed that deal with the Padres. Bo Bichette, hey, he was involved in some trade rumors, but feels like they're committed to him. Trey Turner, Willy Adames is the best possible shortstop that is going to be available. So it's a very slim pickings position is the shortstop spot. You don't see many names available. Javier Baez, Carlos Correa, Anthony Volpe, CJ Abrams, Tommy Edman. I mean, maybe Tommy Edman, but still, I mean, come on now. I think your best bet is that Tim Anderson has a bounce back and maybe he becomes the option. But even then, his defense was bad at shortstop and his bat was even worse. Tim Anderson hit one more home run than I did. So, look, Bichette's not going to be available. You don't, shortstops don't grow on trees. That's why it's such a premium position. I think in a perfect world, you could get Ha-Seong Kim, who has that mutual option that's not going to get picked up, and he's going to enter free agency, but Padres still think they can win. They're not going to do that deal with the Dodgers, so that's not going to happen either. So, I think Willy Adames is their best option if they definitely want to trade for a shortstop. But that is going to do it for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. A few more walk-off shots here. Let's do some walk-off shots. We got Will Smith's bat is waking up yesterday. Yeah, Will Smith, do not worry about him. He's going to... First of all, Will Smith's added like 10 pounds of muscle too. I don't know if he's even talked about that, but he looks absolutely yoked with those Popeye arms. Brandon, Mookie, and Gavin Lux just need time to build the middle infield chemistry. Do you really want to see a keystone combination with that much inexperience? Yeah, it could happen. And look, if you score enough runs to justify it, I'm totally okay with it. But you also have to consider the fact that you're probably going to have a below average defensive third baseman. Yeah, I know you guys want this sometimes to be Dodgers State TV, and I'm not going to be a sunshine pumper here. I'm just trying to keep it a buck, keep it 100 with you guys, and that's just the reality here. Dodger Mania, we got Freddie is ready. I like them. Craig Osterberg can never rely on prospects until they prove it. Yeah, that's what all prospects are, right? 70% of them don't work out. That's the truth, okay? Very rarely do they make an all-star team. It's extremely rare they do anything other than that. So you just, until you see them, until you give them the opportunity and they prove you right or wrong, you just never know. Let's get another W today. Can't wait for this season. Haven't been this excited. Yeah, so for the walk-off here, I'll get you guys set up for today's action. The Dodgers, they make their last Cactus League road game today against the Guardians at Goodyear Ballpark, 1:05 p.m. So it'll be on Sportsnet LA. You got Bobby Miller going against Tristan McKenzie. So, hey, Bobby Miller, Bobby big time. It's going to be Miller's World. D-Mac, love your interview with Jesse Hahn. Thank you, Elisheva Jones. Yeah, I'm going to drop some more interviews today. But that's going to do for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. I'm going to answer this one real quick, though. Mew Wheel, Lux has a great bat. We just need him to be average, slightly below average. I've said that this whole entire time. I've said that for months. But right now, he's not even at that level. And can the Dodgers wait? I think he's going to be an asset at second base. I truly believe that because he can hit. Like you said, he's an above average bat. He's proven that. And he's an above average second baseman. So he does have value from that standpoint. But that meaning that Mookie is your full-time shortstop, that could present some problems down the line. Thanks, D-Mac, Noah, and chat. Also, yeah, I hate my wife from Nando. Can't wait to see that. But that's going to do it, guys. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, be sure to do just that. And remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue.